Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Couldn't break us down because we were so brave.
I love my people.
We kept our pride throughout the years.
I love my people.
Worked hard and prayed and shed some tears.
I love my people.
No matter what the world has put us through.
I love my people.
We come out on top in everything we do. Won't you say it with me? All work together, we know that we can win.
I love the way we walk.
I love the way we talk. I love the way we stand. I'm blessed because I know one thing.
Welcome to Black Wall Street USA for Thursday, June 28th. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, founder of Chicago's Black Business Network. Our host is Ron Carter, chairman of Black Wall Street District, Chicago, and publisher and editor of the South Street Journal newspaper. We want to thank you for being with us this evening. This is going to be just an absolutely great show. We're so looking forward to everything that's going on tonight and everything that's going on around the city of Chicago. We're going to have Ron give us an update on what's going on with Black Wall Street, and we're just thankful that you're here. We're here every Thursday evening, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time for Central Standard Time for Black Wall Street USA, and our host tonight is Mr. Charles S. Dutton, but we're going to tell you all about that. We've been on a little break, at least I've been on a break, and I've been on a break for a short time. Mr. Carter's been on a break for a couple of months. I've been hosting CBBN Business Journals right here on this network. CBBN Business Journals features interviews with business owners and other innovators from around the world. And it's been such a wonderful learning experience for me, and I certainly look forward to sharing some more of these episodes with you. These shows are broadcast right here on Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Our next show will be Monday, July 2nd at 11 a.m. Our guest will be National Award-winning financial advisor, Miss Mickey Mikeworth. Mickey was presented with the honor of being voted one of the top women in finance twice by her industry, hosted by Finance and Commerce magazine. So be sure to listen to that show. That's this Monday, July 2nd, on CBBN Business Journals. You can check out her profile on LinkedIn.com. And I know all of you are on LinkedIn.com. It's one of the big three. If you're in business, you're not on LinkedIn with all these millions of people, you're really, really missing out on some great, great connections. I've just begun also to host a series titled Can You Answer the Tough Questions, based on my book, Black America, Asking Ourselves the Tough Questions, Book 1, now available on Amazon.com. My first guest on that series was house music legend Mr. Harry Dennis, and you can listen to that show and get more information about the book at AskingOurselvesTheToughQuestions.com. We're hoping to travel all around the country and ask Black America the tough questions. That show, you can listen to that show noon, Monday through Friday. Okay, so I got a lot of things coming up, and we got some more things in the works. There's a webinar coming up on how to produce your own press releases. So check my page at Chicago's Black Business Network. Check my page for more information, okay? Also, you'll find me on Facebook, Chicago's Black Business Network. We have almost 1,000 small businesses connecting on CBBN now. Once you come over and to be a part of that. Now, we also have another program that we're going to launch right here on Black America USA, and that's Community News Reporters. We had a webinar a couple of weeks on that particular program that we're putting together. We're very excited. We had a good turnout. We started last year. I got my plate full there, and we're going to go right back into it. We're going to have community news reporters coming out, communities all over the country, to tell us what's going on because they know best. And I think that's going to be a really great program. We're going to start audio right here on Black Wall Street USA. Then we're going to go to Ustream, and then we're going to access TV. And I didn't know that all states don't have free access TV. Didn't know that. Well, it's not totally free. Some of the parts of it is free, and some parts of it is not. But I want to thank Mr. Glover. He's going to help me with that training. That's the first time I've done that, but that doesn't stop me, and that should not stop you. Before we bring on our host, Mr. Carter, let me share a little bit about tonight's show. The movie The Obama Effect is scheduled to premiere across the country in July. The Obama Effect premieres in Chicago July 13th to the 27th, so let's pack the house, Chicago. The buzz is just starting, but you can hear it coming. Wait a minute. Wait 1 second here. You hear that? That's the Obama Effect, and you know it. Just the mention of President Obama's name starts hours of conversation everywhere, and the trailer rolls out right now, and it's on all across America as the trailer rolls out across the country. They haven't even seen the movie yet. Just a preview, man, it's going to be exciting. I can barely wait. Now, just mention the name Obama, add the directing and acting skills of tonight's guest, Mr. Charles S. Dutton, with more than 100 acting, producing, and directing credits to his name, and you know that you are just stirring the pot. Now, add to that pot Cat Williams, Miss Vanessa Bell Calloway, Glenn Turman, and you get one hell of a mix. Did you see the previews, people? Cat playing a Republican, or is he playing devil's advocate? Whichever, you know that Cat Williams is going to handle his business. Now, a little bit about Charles Dutton and the movie. Just a little bit, because we're going to let him tell us all about it, okay? I'm working hard over here, people. You know this technical, you know, let me tell you something. Let me just tell you this, and I'm going to talk about Mr. Dutton. You know, the end of our sanity is going to be the computer and the internet. You just watch what happens. Perfect internet service all day. 5 minutes before the show, what you think happened? Woo, it went into a little turbulence, but we're not going to let that stop us, are we? Now, a little bit about Charles Dutton. I had to say that because I'm working up a sweat over here, but I'm very excited. We know him as Rock. Did you know that was his nickname? It sure is. And I really can't believe that was 1991 and 1994. It seems like it just doesn't seem that long. So then we know Alien 3 and my favorite, Mimic. I'm still scared of roaches. I really am. And just thinking about Mimic, I'm going to go to bed and dream about some really huge roaches. Did you see that movie, Ryan? We're going to see. Really, I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to dream about some really huge roaches tonight. But I'm going to mention a few other things that Mr. Dalton has been involved in. Get on the Bus, Millionaire March, you know that. There was Spike Lee, A Time to Kill, and Samuel L. Jackson was in that. That was a great movie. Miami Vice, did you see him in that? Surviving the Game. Now, this is one of my favorite movies. With Ice-T, if you haven't seen that, go back and pull that, because that is a good movie. They was hard up on that one. And he also directed in 2000 the HBO miniseries, The Corner. Like I say, there was 100-plus credits to his name out there on the internet. So we know he's bringing all this experience to the table for the Obama effect. And we're going to see what's going on with that. Mr. Dutton was born in 1951. He was almost around in my age group in Baltimore, Maryland. He earned his master's degree, Yale School of Drama. Now, in 2012, he's directing and starring in The Obama Effect. Let me tell you about the movie. The Obama Effect is a comedy about John Thomas, played by Dutton, an insurance salesman who suddenly takes an overwhelming interest in the 2008 Obama campaign. Didn't we all? After a serious health scare changes his view of life, the movie follows the Thomases' family, friends, and foes through this historic time in American history. And we're about to have a repeat. And that's what's in store for us tonight. It's going to be a great evening with Mr. Dutton, and he's going to take calls, so get ready. This is Black Wall Street USA. Our call-in number is 347-326-9477. Getting ready to open up the chat room. Be good, chat room. Be good, be nice. Leave your company information and website links in the chat room. That's how we connect. That's how you connect with people around the world. We will be taking some questions from the chat room. Thank goodness we open up the show with I Love My People, which has been our theme song since last year, by Mr. Obi William King of JustUsArts.org. I'm going to welcome the chairman.
Well, good evening.
To the broadcast. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Sonny. Yes, you are. As a matter of fact, you did your research also on Mr. Dutton, like okay. You always do. Good to be back on Chicago's Black Business Network. Black Wall Street USA. It's indeed feel good being back here on the air talking. And naturally, since the last time we were on, a lot of stuff has transpired. A lot of trust transpired with Black Wall Street Chicago, and now in which we converted or added to Black Wall Street Districts of Chicago, in which we had a meeting just this past Tuesday, which it was summit number 17, and we focus our agendas on some long-term stability with some short-term progress with resolutions again. And it was hosted on the west side of Chicago at Life Abundance Center at 2632 West Jackson Boulevard. We had a nice, small, good group of people that was not preaching to the choir. We definitely had a lot of intense information, but we went through our agenda. We had representatives from some of the 21 districts in Chicagoland. We talked about our parity legislation, in which we have had communications with the mayor's office on our parity legislation. We had communications with the Department of Planning with our Black Wall Street districts. We have also passed a resolution to focus on Gary Anna at Chicago. Now, our Congressman Jesse Jackson is focusing in on theater.
Mr. Carter, you're breaking up a little.
The sentiments of the summit participants this past Tuesday was to focus in on Gary, Indiana, mainly because Gary already have an airport and the population of parity economics would benefit Black people economically in Gary that would also spin over to the south side of Chicago. So that was a resolution that was passed in which we're going to be focusing on a delegation from Chicago to go to Gary in support of that airport. Where does that lie with the Pierrotone Airport is yet to be seen how we're going to pursue. But we do know that Gary, Indiana, whether we're going to develop it or somebody else going to do it, whether it's going to be now or it's going to be later. So our representatives from Black Wall Street District of Chicago raised their hands that they're going to go to Gary and going to have a united stand on helping Gary and Gary leading us on what we need to do to make that all that it can be. So we went on with other resolutions. Harold Lucas of the Bronzeville Tourism Visitors Convention, he made a presentation on the money that's into tourism, in which we're looking at duplicating his efforts in other Black Wall Street districts. We also talked about that there's going to be a somewhat of a center that's proposed for the old Kennedy King College, in which Reverend Robert Moore is proposing to be somewhat of a headquarters for many different economic development initiatives that we can channel our resources, somewhat like a headquarters, so to speak. He did indicate that he had the support of all supposed to have been at the meeting this past Tuesday, but did not make it. His role, Alderman Sawyer, was to address this parity legislation. So it definitely was an intense meeting. It wasn't preaching to the choir. There was a little frustrations that people had to get out based on where the Black community should be, but it's not. But it was a planning summit meeting. And the difference is that we pass motions for resolutions toward direct action. And, Sonia, as you know, you were there at the meeting. You know that what the results of meetings like that is the follow-up and the homework that have to be implemented. Did you like that? How do you feel about the meeting that we had Tuesday?
Well, a few things about me and meetings. You know, I'm short on patience when it comes to meetings. I want to see, and I hope that, you know, you take my suggestion, that you follow up with each of the individuals and follow up with them to see in your next meeting what is it that they will be bringing to the table.
What do you mean, and your next meeting? You was at the meeting. Why are you saying your meeting?
The next meeting. The next meeting to follow up and see what, as you, the term that you like to use, plans of implementation, what will they be bringing to the table as as I think Nita said, action points between this meeting and the next meeting, and I'm not sure when you schedule it.
We have talked to some of the people that wasn't present from some of those districts, so we are on focus in about 3 weeks. So, yeah,
okay.
We had a good meeting. So how are we looking? Are we ready to take a break? But you will be at the next meeting before then, all right, correct? Have we drafted
you? Say that again.
Have we drafted you?
You haven't drafted me yet. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to see. What is everybody bringing to the table as far as their input, their energy, their expertise? What is it they intend to get done based on what they feel the Black Wall Street District?
You made a motion yourself to bring to the table. You introduced a motion, and it was passed in a resolution as well on the concept of the 4th of July. So it's something that you put to the table as well that has some implementation that you have to be followed up on.
Well, I see you working. You're trying to work me, aren't you?
You're the one brought it to the table and to discuss it, and a motion was passed and it was adopted. So it's something that you brought as well. You want to go into details about that now, or you want to get to it after the break?
I'm going to go into details as to what that resolution was, and then we're going to go to a break. You listen to Black Wall Street USA. I'm Sonya Cassandra Perdue. That's our host, Ryan Carter, chairman of Black Wall Street Districts, Chicago, and publisher and editor of the South Street Journal. I put on the table Tuesday evening, and this is not per myself, Mr. Carter, but this is per William Richard Kraft, historical researcher. Mr. Kraft is the writer and researcher for the Booker T. Washington Chronicles. His proclamation, and this is the resolution I put on the table and it was accepted, Black American Economic Independence Day, July 4, 1881. And I'll just read a little bit of the excerpt from that. If the truth be told, and thus far it has not been so, then and only then will Black Americans have found a reason to celebrate the 4th of July. On this date in 1881, Dr. Booker T. Washington opened the doors of Tuskegee Industrial and Normal Institute of Alabama, establishing a presence and foundation for all Black Americans to proudly give credence and deference to the uplifting of the race and its drive for self-sufficiency. On July 4th, and from that day forth, we shall celebrate Black American Economic Independence Day. From their hands, from Mr. Ruins of an old AME Zion Church, Tuskegee students, faculty, and townspeople, under the direction of Dr. Washington, fired bricks from the clay on the land in their own kiln and built an industrial learning center that was modeled in Japan and China. Originally situated on 4,000 acres of land, lumber from the forest was processed in the sawmill they built. They installed electrical, water, and sewer lines, and even processed butter and three kinds of cheeses from the facility's herd of cattle. By 1913, up from one man and 30 students, the school had a student body of approximately 1,600, including 165 teachers and officers, 103 buildings, with a five-mile railroad provided by the state of Alabama that went from the institute's warehouses to the town of Shahi. It included a children's house where future teachers practiced their skills and Carnegie Library, which was built at the cost of $20,000. In 1892, Tuskegee opened the first hospital for blacks in Alabama, which was named the John A. and Andrew Memorial Hospital in 1913 because of a donation that the then governor of Massachusetts in the same year made a donation. That property in 1913 was valued at $1.5 million. The resolution was accepted by Black Wall Street District Chicago that henceforth, beginning July 4th, 2012, that be declared Black American Economic Independence Day, Mr. Carter.
Okay, and it was motion this past Tuesday, and it was adopted by the body of Black Wall Street Districts of Chicago to move forward. So you have put a implementation part on our table, and I guess what we need to do is to highlight that this coming 4th of July.
Absolutely. Well, my intention in bringing Mr. Kraft's proclamation forth and putting it on the table was to create a mindset, and because that absolutely is where it starts, as to, you know, the direction that we are going, and that is self-sufficiency. And we talked about that in some of the plans that people brought to the table. Now, there is a press release going out to over 1,000 media outlets probably tomorrow with the contents that I just read, some of the contents that I just read to make that proclamation, not only through Black Wall Street District Chicago, but across the nation. And actually, I did start with my social medias last week and started posting that information. Now, we're looking forward to the show tonight. Mr. Charles Dutton will be with us shortly. And what we're going to do here is we're going to take just a short break here, and we're going to come back and get our program underway. We want to thank you for this is Black Wall Street USA. You know, people, we've been gone a while. We got to, like, oil ourselves up a little bit. Get ourselves oiled up a little bit. But we're going to be
I'm
right
oiled
back.
Up, Sonia.
Oh, you oiled up? Well, I need to get oiled up
I'm
myself
oiled up.
For a two-hour program. You know, I've been doing a little half-hour CBBN business journals, and you're oiled up. Okay, then when we get back, I'm going to turn the show over to you, and I'm just going to let you do everything, do your thing. This is Black Wall Street USA with host Ron Carter, publisher and editor of the South Street Journal. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, founder of Chicago's Black Business Network, and author of Black America, Asking Ourselves the Tough Questions, Book 1, 2010, and we'll be right back. And I want to thank you for being here.
I'm trying.
Just a little bit about who we are. Chicago's Black Business Network is a grassroots business-to-business service designed to assist the individual business owner in his or her efforts to reach the next level of service and growth in the marketplace. It is our goal to provide a platform for businesses to connect across the city and the country. This is where you create relationships that are designed to take your business to the next level of success. Chicago's Black Business Network is growing. We now have 800-plus members, and it is our mission to plant the seeds and provide the tools for growth to each of our members. Visit us today, www.chicagos, that's Chicago with an S, chicagosblackbusinessnetwork.com. Join us today and touch the world. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, founder.
We're the soul of Chicago, WJPC.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
Somewhere a Child is Waiting. Somewhere a Child is Waiting for you, and Unity Parenting and Counseling makes it possible for that child to be connected with his new family. Unity Parenting and Counseling will help you through the application process, training, and certification. Call Brenda Weatherspoon today at 312-455-0007 to be connected at the heart. Call 312-455-0007 today so that each day that child is closer to home.
The Soul of Chicago, WJPCChicago.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Black Wall Street USA. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, founder of Chicago's Black Business Network, connecting black businesses across Chicago and the world. Our host this evening is Ron Carter, publisher and editor of the South Street Journal and chairman of Black Wall Street District Chicago. Also, we have a great show tonight. Mr. Charles S. Dutton is with us. The movie is The Obama Effect. It's scheduled to premiere across the country in July. The Obama Effect premieres right here in Chicago, July 13th. Through the 27th, let's pack the house, Chicago. The buzz is just starting. Can you hear it, Ron? Can you hear the buzz?
I hear it.
You hear it? You
that's
know,
right.
As I said, just said before, just mention the name of President Obama, and it's going to start hours and hours of conversation. Now, mention the name of Obama, add the directing and acting skills of tonight's guest, Mr. Charles S. Dutton, with more than 100 acting, producing, and directing credits to his name, and you know you just stirring the pot. We're excited. The chat room is open. Our calling number is 347-326-9477. Mr. Dutton will be taking calls. Also, if you leave some questions in the chat room, we will be sure to get to Mr. Dutton on that. Mr. Dutton, we want to welcome you to Black Wall Street USA. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Okay.
We're
well,
doing
welcome
great.
To the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we appreciate the for you to take such a timely. I have to admit, when I first heard of the Obama effect, I thought politically, I asked the question, was this a documentary? Was this a report? Or what's going on here? And then I saw you brought it to my attention. No, this is not no documentary. No, it's not no report. It is actually a movie, and it's a comedy. So naturally, I went online, and then I did my research, and I said, yes, that's my guy. So welcome to Chicago on USA, Black Wall Street USA. Let me ask you, the timing of the movie, how did this come about?
Well, you know, we actually started working on the movie right after the the 2008 election and right before the inauguration. And the producer and my partner in this project, Barry Hankerson, called me and said, you know, let's be the first people out of the block to do something on the newly elected president. And I said, well, okay, let's come up with a story, you know, and we don't want to just throw something together. Let's think about it for several weeks. And so we came up with what we thought was a really good idea, and we started shooting the film late 2008, but because of my schedule and other people's schedules involved, we could shoot for 4, 5, 6 weeks. Then we kind of had to take a break and clear up other commitments we had and then come back to the film. So the film took a year or maybe 18 months to complete because of scheduling problems. But, however, in that 18 months, we were able to observe the ups and downs, the pros and cons, the positives and negatives of his first 2 years in office. And so we went back and said, well, when I finished the script was just a little bit too heavy on the heavy side in the last third of the movie. Somehow it turned into King Lear.
What way are you saying heavy?
Well, you know, let me just say the story is about a man who is so obsessed with getting Obama elected that it's to the detriment, not the tragic detriment, but the detriment to everything else around him. The neglect of his family, the neglect of his friends, the neglect of his job. He's so wrapped up into this historical moment, and he will not let it pass. So in his obsession to do that, a lot of things happen to him, but he gains a sense of purpose in his fighting to elect the first black president. But in the initial writing of the script, I kind of made the character in the last third of the movie, I kind of made him a little too tragic and a tragic figure. And so I went back and did some rewriting, and we did some reshooting. And, you know, in essence, the film is a revisiting of the euphoria and the passion and the commitment and the historical phenomena that we all went through in the 2008 election that we can all remember. And if it's one thing I think we've captured in the movie is rekindling all of those feelings and seeing those feelings for yourself on the screen. So it's not about the movie is not about the president per se, but about the entire movement and feeling of that historical moment.
Do you remember where you were the day that he won the election?
I was at home just like everybody else. I was waiting the election results, you know, and going from state to state, and you know, afraid to go into the kitchen and get a glass of juice, figuring you might miss something, you know. And so when it was all said and done, you know, the euphoria of that, the tears that was in my household, you know, it was, you know, and I'm a product of the '60s, so I remember what a glorious, tumultuous upheaval decade that was. So to actually live through that night. Or those months, but particularly that night, and be alive to see the first black president. You know, now there'll be some debate about how good he's been or how bad he's been, of course. But just to be alive, be physically alive to see that day, you know, was a wondrous moment.
Well, here in Chicago, we definitely appreciate a movie, and it's too bad it wasn't shot in Chicago. However, but we, based on him being here, it will touch home to a lot of people. Now, with the character, was there any similarity to any character or person that you know of, or you just developed this character all through your own thoughts? Or were you looking at any particular person that made up the character for the movie?
Oh, no. It all came out of my head creatively, you know. We found an actor by the name of Reginald Brown, who's a great Obama impersonator. And he looks like Obama. You've probably seen him on talk shows, et cetera. You know, he's not as tall as Obama, but he does a great – and we used him as the Obama character, but he's not throughout the film. And I chose to shoot him when he's on in angles that, you know, that you really don't know if it's Obama or not. Sort of in shadows. And then that – the Obama character becomes an alter ego character for the main guy, that he shows up, he's in this guy's head. And so the film, in one sense, the film is a political satire on the 2008 election, but I say satire cautiously. It's not offensive, it's not over the top, it's not derogatory, because you can use the word satire and then be just as mean-spirited as you want to, and then say, "Hey, it's a satire." But no, this is a non-offensive satire. And you know, politically, I will admit it's an unabashedly supportive picture for the president. But it's also, you know, I think people will walk away from it remembering what they were doing in 2008, but also what the future possibly has for the next 4 years if he's reelected.
So did Mitt Romney give you a call prior to releasing and asking you what is this all about and asking you to, can you hold off until after November? Did he give you a call?
Well, I'm waiting on that call to happen, you know. I'm waiting for Fox News to give me a call, you know. I would love to be able to sit on Bill O'Reilly's show or Fox and Friends and bring a clip of the movie onto that show. Matter of fact, the publicity company involved in it, you know, I told them, I said, look, book me on the conservative shows as well, because it's about America, not just left or right or Democrat or Republican, you know. So, if Romney calls me, you know, I'll sit down with him and have a talk. I'll just tell him. Well, I tell you what, you should bow out gracefully now.
Okay. Well, I looked at the trailer, and your acting definitely have an essence that it is an actual person. It's someone that people can identify with walking down the street. How did you feel doing that role to the point that you are representing the everyday person? And again, it is a point of, it does take people back on what they was doing. So what was your feeling as you are representing many people in playing this role?
Ron, I wanted to write a character and play a character that people could easily identify with, number one. And number two, that they could feel like, hey, this is my next door neighbor. Hey, this was my dad. That was my uncle. That was my friend. You know, we did the same thing. We went to the polls and stood in all those long lines. So I wanted to have that identification with people across the country, but at the same time, I wanted to make him have flaws, you know, that he wasn't perfect, you know, and so
I've definitely seen that in some of the trailer parts. He did have some issues.
Right, yeah, he had a lot of issues. He had issues. He had issues that, and it was because of him finding a purpose in life, and that purpose was to get through this election, and live this historical moment. He was able to find his purpose and discover or rediscover his own humanity. Not that he was unhumane, or inhumane, but he was able to become a better person through the course of this particular time in history.
Right. I think that has contributed to a lot of us. Sonia, how are we looking here?
We're looking good, Ron. We're going to probably go to a break, and we're probably going to take some questions from the chat room. There's like 5 or 6 questions in the chat room. We're going to come back and do that. But I want to share something with Mr. Dunn. Let me tell our listeners that you're listening to Black Wall Street USA. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue. Our host this evening is Mr. Ron Carter. Our guest is Mr. Charles Dutton, director and star of The Obama Effect, and that's what we're talking about tonight, The Obama Effect. Just a couple of things about Chicago, Mr. Dutton. Now, we had a historical election here in 1982 with the election of the first black mayor of Chicago. That was Harold Washington.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we got a little feeling about the trials and tribulation of what goes on in those type of elections. We got that feeling, and we were fortunate, and I was fortunate to see, watch, and experience that sense of pride when Harold got elected. That's what we call him. He's our Harold. So we kind of know that feeling. So with the movie The Obama Effect and how you're running through that and how that look on your face and that first picture on that trailer, we feel that. I can feel that. That look where you looking at that man, that young man right there, and the possibilities of this historical action. I can feel that. I can see that. That's a good expression. We should have that picture on the show page. But anyway, that's the picture we should have had. But I want you to know too, Mr. Dutton, I'm a Chicagoan. I was in Grant Park that night. Standing there for hours and hours upon hours upon hours, waiting for, you know, like you were doing at home. And I kind of felt, you know what, I could have stayed at home and watched this on TV. But then, you know, that's how I felt about it. And right now, you don't want to be at home. This is where you want to be. This is where you want to be.
Right, like, right.
Yeah, I could have saw this real good on TV. But then when I have that memory, no, I would not. So I
would have loved to have traded places with you, you know. And I just couldn't because I was just trying to juggle my schedule so much. But then just watching all the people and, you know, like you said, when you guys in Chicago went through with Harold Washington and the euphoria of that. But, you know, you only get, you know, we as African-Americans, we only get those moments every generation, you know, once every 50 years or once every 30 years, you know. And when I speak to young people about the decade of the 60s, you know, and all that upheaval, I said, man, you could wake up in the morning and turn on the television and you might have 7 or 8 cities with 100,000 people marching or protesting something, you know, all over the country every day for 10 years, you know, whether it was civil rights, whether it was the anti-war movement, you know, so, you know, it was just, you know, just full of upheaval and a sort of a revolutionary good spirit, you know. So I know what you mean. I would have loved to have been at the square myself, and but when they would pan across the camera, would pan across all those people with wet eyes and emotions and looking just so full, you know, it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing to watch that I'll never forget.
Let me ask you, Mr. Dutton, before we go to a break. The movie has not hit the theaters yet. What do you think? This is a comedy, but it's a serious comedy. What do you think the reaction is going to be?
Well, you know, I really anticipate a very, very good positive reaction. I've sat through a couple of screenings at a couple of cities, you know, in Los Angeles several times, as well as Detroit. And you know, and the people didn't know I was in the theater, and I eased in the back once it got full and the lights turned out, and I was able to watch the audience watch the movie. And I watched people come out of the movie, you know, really full with emotions. I heard them enjoying the film through laughter, you know, some of the audacious moments in the film that people were cracking up at. You know, the serious moments, they were listening. You could hear a pin drop, in the film. So, you know, I expect people to really come out of it and have a good that they had an hour and a half, an hour 35 minutes of a good time, and they'll be able to reflect on their own sense of politics and their own sense of political life. And what they went through then, and what they expect to go through in the future. So, you know, I'm not looking for. I don't think the film is not controversial in the sense that we're trying to be edgy, just for or try to embarrass anybody on either side of the political aisle. It is a satire in the sense that we embellish things at some point, and it is a made up story out of my head, but it's still reflective of what the country went through. So, you know, I don't expect anybody to say, hey, I hated the movie, or hey, you know, it was a ripoff or whatever. No, I think I poured my heart and soul into it, and so did the rest of the cast, and so did the producers, you know.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. You listen to Black Wall Street USA. That's our guest, Mr. Charles S. Dutton, director and star of The Obama Effect, premiering here in Chicago July 13th through the 27th. Come on, Chicago, let's pack the house.
Now, and I just want the folks to know too that I plan to attend the opening of the show. The first premiere screening of it in Chicago. You know,
do you know which
I'm going to be there.
You know which theater you're going to be at?
No, not yet, but those guys will make sure the publicity guys will make sure that you guys know. You know,
great.
Matter of fact, I just got the email that they want me to attend the premiere there. So,
great, because I got to be there. Call number 347-326-9477. The chat room is open. What we're going to do is we're going to take a very brief break here, and we're going to come back and take some questions, and we're going to come back with Mr. Dunn and the Obama Effect. We're looking forward to a great time.
Treasury, one is in the land of hoity-toity, them not care about being poor community. But home and my heart to raise, she fights with me. They just want to lavish in luxury. That's why they smuggle taxpayers' money, then skin teeth for the paparazzi. But I'm here to tell them publicly, get up and forget your greedy appetite. Because it's greedy people who are feeding pressure all day and night. Get up and forget your greedy appetite. Because it's greedy people who are feeding pressure all day and night. It's time to govern the country right. I run the country right. It's time to govern the country right. It's time to govern the country right. I run the country right. It's time to govern the country right. To sell it them to about delinquency. Them really feel that them fool me. But Rastafari judgment I come surely. But I and I know that them can't fool me. That's why I talk to my people on a daily about the plans them have in store for me. Only empty promises for me daily. Get up and forget your greedy appetite. Because it's really people who are feeling pressure all day and night. Greedy people who are feeding pressure all day and night. It's time to govern the country right. I run the country right. It's time to govern the country right. It's time to govern the country right. I run the country right. Time to govern the country right. Big shots, what's surrounding your community? So ask the people what's distressing them on a daily. They have no time for
them only study money. Them just crush you once or twice to provoke your mind, cause they want your vote but they play blind to the real estate. They don't want to secure you, so get up and forget your greedy appetite. Because it's really people who are feeding pressure all day and night. Because it's really the people who are feeling pressure all day and night. So I say it's time to govern a country right. I run no country right. It's time to govern a country right. It's time to govern a country right. I run no country right. It's time to govern a country right. Ooh,
you're listening to WJPCFM Chicago's Community Affairs Calendar, powered by Chicago's Black Business Network. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, founder of Chicago's Black Business Network. Join us today and touch the world.
Black American Economic Independence Day, July 4th, 1881. Our day in American history. On July 4th, 1881, Booker T. Washington opened the doors of Tuskegee Industrial and Normal Institute in Alabama, establishing a presence and a foundation for black economic development in America. From their own hands, amidst the ruins of an old AME Zion church, Tuskegee students built an industrial learning center that was modeled in Japan and China. Situated on 4,000 acres of land, they manufactured bricks from the clay and fired it in their own kiln. Lumber from their forests was processed in the mill that they built. Tuskegee students installed electrical, sewer, and water lines in the property, and even processed butter and cheeses from their own herd of cattle. A 5-mile railroad, provided by the state of Alabama, went from the institute's warehouses to the town of Sheehaw. Essentially, what was taught there was civil engineering and national building skills. Black American Economic Independence Day, July 4th, 1881. Our day in American history. Let's celebrate.
The Soul of Chicago. WJPCChicago.com.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Risen, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Risen offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona room or Haitian room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Risen. Visit us online at phoenixrisen.com.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
The Soul of Chicago, WJPCChicago.com.
You're listening to Black Wall Street USA on Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you, for Thursday, June 28th, 2012. Join us right here every Thursday evening, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time for Black Wall Street USA. Our host is Mr. Ron Carter, chairman of Black Wall Street Districts, Chicago, publisher and editor of the South Street Journal. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, founder of Chicago's Black Business Network and author of Black America, Asking Ourselves the Tough Questions, Book 1, 2010, now available on Amazon.com. And I'm also Mr. Carter's co-host for this show. Our guest is Mr. Charles S. Dutton, director and star of The Obama Effect. The Obama Effect premieres in Chicago July 13th through July 27th. Our call-in number is 347-326-9477. The chat room is open. We're going to take a few questions from the chat room in a moment. Leave your company information and website links in the chat room. That's how we connect. All of our shows are rebroadcast on Saturdays on WJPC-FM Chicago, the soul of Chicago. Listen at www.wjpcchicago.com. If you're interested in being a sponsor or supporter of this show or WJPC, give us a call at 773-609-2226. That's 773-609-2226. Let's bring back our guest and our host. And Ron, check your line because we're getting some feedback on your phone there, and you were kind of fading in and out a little bit. So check your line. This is what we're going to do. Welcome back, Mr. Dutton. We're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to say the last four digits of your telephone number, and we're going to say you're on the air with Black Wall Street USA, and then you know that you are live with Mr. Carter and Mr. Dutton. Now, let's see, caller. Last four digits, 7627. You are live with Black Wall Street USA. Tell us your name and where you are calling from.
Good evening. My name is Phyllis Gregg, and I'm calling from Homewood, Illinois.
Okay, how are you doing, Ms. Gregg? Welcome to Black Wall Street USA. Yes, your question and comment, please, or comment?
Thank you. Mr. Dutton, I absolutely love you. I have always loved you as an actor, and I'm confident that I will love you even more so as a producer. What I would like to find out from you, though, is what would you hope that your viewers will take away from seeing this movie?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the film is about a man who is so obsessed with getting Obama elected, it sometimes is at the detriment of other things in his life, neglect of his family, his friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until he turns it all around and he's able to get a purpose in life, you know. But it is a political satire about the 2008 election. I think what I would love people to get out of the film, and I think what we've captured in the film, is where everybody were or was the night that he was elected president, the feelings that they had that particular evening, the euphoria of that moment, and also a sense of purpose that the struggle isn't over in 4 years, you know, that we have to do it again. We've got to get out there with the same kind of passion and the same kind of commitment and the same kind of fervor that we had the first time around, regardless of what you're feeling pro or con about the president, because the choices are very stark. You know, he's still, whether you've been satisfied with him or unsatisfied, he's still the better choice,
mm-hmm.
You know, not just for black folks, for America, period. And so that's what I hope they'll walk out of the theater with having enjoyed themselves in the theater that night, having laughed very heartily, having cried very passionately, and at the same time remembering that they can't give up the fight. They got to get right back out there.
Great. I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you for the work that you are doing.
Thank you very
much. Thank you, caller. Now, in this flashback, in the movie, in the TV series Rock, which mm-hmm. I have to say that was the most outstanding comedy every Sunday evening I had to watch. But there was a photograph of Malcolm X. What was the purpose of that? And is there something in the movie The Obama Effect that resembles that picture of Malcolm X in the TV series Rock?
Well, you kind of faded in and out on me a little bit, but I think I got the gist of your question. What that represented in the Rock household was the number one, the majesty of the man himself, Malcolm, the greatness of the man himself, Malcolm. But it also, if you would have give whoever put the, if you had to choose a person who put that poster up in the house, it wasn't Eleanor, it wasn't Rock, it wasn't Joey, it was Pop, because Pop was the family militant. Although he was the oldest, Pop was the family militant. So Pop made all the references to Malcolm and all the references to sort of a radical black history, you know. And we wanted to, you know, we wanted that to be, you know, to fulfill his character that way. And also, you know, we did a ton of things on that show. It was the first. I mean, we wore, you know, we wore. I think we were the first people, even more so than Cosby, to wear clothing that expressed what was going on, you know, in the society at the time, you know, and storylines that really depicted what was going on in the African American communities at the time. So you know, I don't recall if there was a Malcolm picture in the movie. There probably was, but it was a large canvas, and I don't recall if there was a scene in it. And if it was in the main character's house, then I don't think it could have been in the main character's house, because every wall of the main character's house is etched with Obama all over it, from photographs to sketches to everything, you know. So.
So what would you say in the movie of the Obama effect, would there be some type of symbolism that will the people will always put one in the depthness of the movie and the character and the time of history? Is there any type of symbolism, given the movie away totally, that people will have been planning in their head?
Oh, without a doubt, and I don't want to give it away either. But without a doubt, you know, we do some subliminal stuff in there, as well as some covert and overt imaging in the film to give people a sense of direction. And and at the same time, you know, I think it's a film that people will view and think about, and then say, you know what, I got to see that thing again, because I might have missed something, you know. I got to go and look back at something that I think they were sending me a message and I didn't quite catch the first time because I might have been enjoying the movie too much. So, no, you know, I didn't purposely go out to be a cloak and dagger with it, but at the same time, when you, as a filmmaker, you want to send messages, and I think we sent a couple in this film.
Now, was there any consulting with the president himself? Have he seen a preview of the movie?
Well, no, we didn't do any consulting with the president per se, only because you know, he had just got in office. The last thing he needed to hear is for some, you know, a guy named Charles Dutton want to talk to him about a movie. You know, he had much bigger worries and concerns than about a film. And so I don't think the White House has seen the film yet. I think some of his cabinet members have expressed interest in seeing it or have seen the trailer. I haven't been in on that aspect of it, on the promotional aspect of it, in the day-to-day things. But the one thing that I know and that I can attest to, that he wouldn't be embarrassed by it, and nor would anybody else. And, you know, I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't first class and tasteful. I would have never done the picture. You know, now, of course, we do have the wonderful and funny and crazy Cat Williams in the picture, and it was a hard time containing him, you know, in language and stuff. But even Cat, to his credit, completely to his credit, he understood what we were trying to do. Mm-hmm. And he performed and behaved with the same sense of historical importance to what we were trying to do. So and the audience is going to love him. If they're Cat Williams fans, you're going to simply love him in this movie. And if you're not Cat Williams fans, you're going to be surprised about the kind of performance that he does in this picture, because he's not doing his stand-up routine. He's playing a real character, a real person that's complicated and vulnerable, and he's going to surprise some folks with this performance.
Okay. So when we look at the movie, and then we look at, as we're moving forward to this here particular election, is there a life of the movie? As you know, that sometimes movies turn around and they're on DVD. Is there a lifespan that you are projecting that this movie will be at the theaters before it gets to DVD?
Well, that's hard to say, Ron, only because we're doing a limited opening. We're doing a limited opening of the film. We're doing a limited opening of the film in July, and that's eight cities. And then we're going to do a wider release of the film in October. And so what we wanted to do was to make sure that we got the movie out first as somewhat of a teaser almost, but then also as a stronger effort the closer we get to the election. So we can be instrumental in helping gear up and fire up the folks that will go out there and vote for the president. We want to be part of that mix, you know. So I didn't write this just for it to be a financial success. I wrote it to be a part of the political makeup in this time in history, and I wrote it for Americans, black or white, to understand that, you know, it's a struggle from the cradle to the grave, you know, when it comes to the working class, when it comes to the working poor, when it comes to health care, when it comes to our schools. I mean, you know, it won't take just one president. It's a fight to the, and that may seem unfair, particularly for black folks. That may seem unfair to have to struggle from the cradle to the grave, but that's the lot in our life. That's the card, the hand we've been dealt. So we might as well fall in love with the struggle the way we did 30, 40, 50 years ago. And
well,
so,
you stated earlier that you are someone from the 60s, so we're and strategy, if I can say, the scene and making the movie.
Chairman, you're going in and out, Chairman.
Yeah, you're really going in and out, Ron. I could barely, hear you.
I'm not for sure. How am I right now?
Now I can hear you.
Sounded good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, based on the strategy of the movie coming out from July the 13th to October, then it does have a political direction with it. Is that proper for the entertainment industry to do that? I think that may be somewhat out of the norm based on the timing, even though you did say you started in 2009, but the timing is more of a political strategy as it's being released to the public. Is that out of the norm for the entertainment industry, and especially with your remarks of your purpose behind the movie?
Well, you know, if it's out of the norm or if it's in the norm, I don't really care, to be honest. You know, I mean, Hollywood does what it does, and this is not a Hollywood studio movie. This was a movie independently financed, independently produced, independently distributed. So we did it this way so we didn't have to be dictated by the Hollywood power structure. We wanted to do it our way. Everybody involved in this picture has a political consciousness. Everybody involved in this picture did it. Nobody made a lot of money for this movie. People did this for the love of it, for the moment. the historical moment, and the fact that, you know, they also saw that this could potentially be something that could be an instrument to support the president the second time around. So we're, you know, I'm not dodging that question. I'm not dodging that bullet. If it is a bullet aimed at me, I'm not dodging that at all. I'm saying it's unabashedly a film in support of the president. However, but the reason I don't have any problems with it, because if the Koch brothers and all these right-wing corporations can flood the hundreds of millions of dollars into their causes, then I think our small little movie that only costs about $4 or $5 million is a drop in the bucket compared to what they're spending to oust the president of the United States. To make he's not elected.
I have to admit that hearing you speak those terms and having the position is something rare that the general public do not hear from people in the entertainment industry that have such a purpose in making such a movie, regardless of the entertainment, the laughter, the joy, and enjoying you on the screen. But also your mission behind the movie is what is a rarity in the entertainment industry, and what we do need to expect from our black entertainers. Is that something that's out of the norm for black entertainers to take the position that you're taking with this movie?
Well, you know, Ron, you know, I've at one time, you know, I used to be a head basher insofar as black entertainers not stepping out and not speaking up, because I came into an artist, or at being an artist, that an artist has to be an activist. You know, an artist, you do your work to advance civilization. And the only way you do that is by being an activist, that's being in the forefront, that's being committed. I mean, my heroes as artists are people like the late Ossie Davis and Ruby Dee and the wonderful Harry Belafonte, you know, and a lot of the old school actors and singers and artists that sacrificed, you know, sometime career, sometime lives, you know, to propel their people forward. So I'm not putting myself on any level of those great folks at all. But it's been my background, it's been my my training and my uprooting, that as an artist you can't just be silent, you know. And for those that do, you know, like I said, 15 years ago I would have been bashing them publicly. Now they have to, you know, they've got to swallow that, you know. They've got to sit on that. They've got to explain that to their children, you know.
Okay, now even explaining that to the children, as you state, you must maybe realize that entertainers have more of a greater influence in society than leadership, per se. How do you weigh that, or do you think that that is a fact?
Well, you know, I mean, I could argue that you know, entertainers have more to, you know, have more influence than public officials. Some entertainers may have more influence, I think, in certain ways and certain avenues. But you know, I think sometimes an entertainer's influence is a little bit shallow, because, you know, it's easy to as an entertainer to say I'm for this cause and I'm for that and I'm for that, then go back to your $10 million mansion, you know, and you know, and you do 5 minutes of so-called commitment to a cause, 5 minutes or 5 hours, but then you go back to living your luxurious life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm not saying that someone should give up their luxurious life, but in some aspects of, I mean, when I watch the Academy Awards every year, And you see all of these great liberal speeches made by actors and actresses when they get their awards about the world and about, you know, poverty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you look at the Academy Award telecast itself and you see three or four black people. Or no black people. Or no black people nominated. Or no black people recognized. And, of course, every 10 years you'll get a handful or a couple, you know. So even in face of that, there's a measure of hypocrisy even in that regard. You know, I just want to say this one point. I remember when George Clooney received the Academy Award, or maybe he didn't, I don't know, but I know he was up there talking, and he was talking about how he was so proud of the Academy and of being a member of the Academy, et cetera. And this was the same organization that gave Hattie McDaniels the first black person an Academy Award. Now, what he failed to say or failed to realize was that she couldn't even come through the front door.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, they gave her an award, but she had to go through the back door to get in and the back door to get out.
Right.
You know,
right.
Look, you know, everybody's their own individual. Everybody lives their own lives. You know, I chose to live mine as an artist this way, the way I'm doing it. And lots of others do things in quiet ways. You know, I've just never been the quiet type.
Well, you know, there are two movies suggestions for you. One movie
is the
Black Wall Street of Tulsa, Oklahoma, of West.
Absolutely,
Africa.
I know the story well. Absolutely,
right. Now that is something that has been missing through history for so long, but it's a dramatic story and it's a rich history of black history that is very overlooked. And then the other suggestion for a movie, maybe, I don't know if you can play Harold Washington or not. Do you think you could do that?
I think I could play Harold. You know, I think
I
wasn't from Chicago, but I loved Mayor Washington. You know, we both were big, robust gentlemen. And so, yeah, I would love to play Harold Washington.
You think you could play Harold Washington?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Well, those are two recommendations that I want to put out there and see what can happen. I do believe that the historical significance of the movie industry in black life is something that is missing. And so that our youth can be able to, they miss the books, they miss it in school, but maybe somehow the entertainment industry can bring that history to life so that they can capture something that they're not getting from school, or maybe they're not even getting from their parents. You heard that, Sonia? You heard what Mr. Dennis may do?
I can tell you this, Ron and Sonia. I've actually pitched the Tulsa, Oklahoma story several times in the 1990s when Rock was on the air. I tried to get it off the ground then. But like a lot of black stories, historical black stories, and that is an historical black Holocaust, that whole Tulsa, Oklahoma event. You know, you couldn't, you know, in other words, see, we get a chance to do one nugget of our history. They get a chance to do 1,000 nuggets. So in other words, once John Singleton did Rosewood, anybody who came up after Rosewood to do, whether it's Tulsa, whether it's slave revolts or whatever, you're pretty much told, oh, well, you've already had your black Holocaust story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just saying the way it is. I'm saying you can't even get a Black Panther story off the ground in Hollywood anymore because of the one that was already done by Mario Van Peebles. You know, and so if you go in and say, well, look, I got an idea. I want to do the Fred Hampton story. Out of Chicago. You know, the Black Panther period in Chicago. You know, well, you already had your Black Panther movie. But
well,
you know, they can do 25 of their own kind, their own history, but we're only given that one, and then you got to wait 25 years to come in. Think about it this way. When since the 60s or 70s, when it was Buck and the Preacher and a couple of films during the 70s period, Then you had nothing in the way of a black Western until you had Posse.
Correct.
Now, I wasn't necessarily crazy about that as a film, but there's been a lot of folks been trying to do a black Western since Posse, but you're told, oh, you already had, you know, your
well,
Western.
Well, is there something that even the African-Americans in the entertainment industry, you have in the inside of the politics of making a movie, is there something that the general public can do to help assist you producers in making such films? Or is it not? Or does the public, can the public have a role in requesting the type of movies they want?
Well, you know, I hate to be the voice of pessimism and doom, but if that was the case, you know, there would be more black fare to watch on everyday television, you know, and not necessarily the basic cable channels, the reality shows. I'm just talking about on the big four networks, ABC,
correct,
NBC, CBS, and Fox. You know, you don't find any stories. You don't find any series anymore. You know, every year the NAACP launches a charge against Hollywood about a lack of diversity, and then Hollywood responds, "Oh yeah, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, we're gonna do this," and then it all goes away. And then 3 years later, the NAACP is back. Hey, you haven't done this, and then they promise, and then 3 years later, it all goes away. And then black folks petition. I mean, when Rock got canceled, I mean, it was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, probably millions of people, writing in and writing letters not to cancel the show. But what happened? It still got canceled. So I don't know, you know.
What was the reason that Rock got canceled?
Well, there was a couple things. It had nothing to do with ratings. It had to do basically with a power struggle. Who, you know, basically I saw the show one way, and they saw the show another way. And what people don't realize is that HBO produced Rock, although we were on the Fox network, but HBO produced Rock. And so HBO saw it differently, I saw it differently, Fox saw it differently. Now, HBO and I were more on the same opinion about the show, but Fox didn't want those kind of edgy episodes that we were doing. You know, they wanted to tame it down. You know, we did a show on Joey getting arrested, sort of a police harassment episode, and it scored great ratings. But the next day I got a call from the head of Fox saying, yeah, great show, Charles, but you can't do that kind of stuff every week. And so I learned, you know, I learned a lesson in that particular moment, the same way with people, newscasters on you know, people that work the news on television. You know, you're dictated to. There's a teleprompter telling you what to say, and if you deviate from that, then you're scolded or you're fired. You know, you're spouting out the views of the network and the political philosophies of the network, and the way with the Rock series, I had to battle with that for three seasons. You know, I saw the show as not like Martin Lawrence's show, not like Family Matters, not like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and not like In Living Color. You know, I saw it as a different kind of show, and not like The Cosby Show. I saw it as a working-class show that was grounded in a true foundation of reality, that did episodes that really depicted what was going on in the inner cities across the country. And sometime we did them comedically, and sometime we did them dramatically. And sometime
well,
we added an element of both.
I definitely, I believe it was every Sunday, I was glued to the TV for Rock. You definitely did a great job with this comedy as well as its meaning and mission in that series. Do you look at yourself as going back to TV, or you will be sticking straight to movies?
No. If I get the right kind of material, I've stayed away from TV as a series of, you know, for the last 10, 12 years, because particularly in the comedy vein because I said, well, I'd have to get something that could top rock, you know, not be like rock, but to be just as important of the show. And nothing's really came across my desk in over a decade that would make me want to come back to half-hour television.
Do you think that would be on the line of a comedy or more of a drama?
Well, you know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, the drama stuff I still get to do. I'll still do guest star spots if I really like a show, you know. And I'm silently working on another half hour. It's in its early developmental stages, and I have a studio interested in it, and but it's a little too early to talk about now. But in developing that in the silent way I'm developing it, it would have it wouldn't be like rock, but it would have the same kind of audacity and edginess and in your face kind of comedy that show had.
Great. Okay, Sonia, where are we?
We're going to a break, and then we're going to take the caller from Chicago, 8960, and then we're going to take some calls, some questions out of the chat room. You're listening to Chicago's Black Business Radio Network, all black, all news, all you, for Thursday, June 28th. This broadcast is designed to service the African-American communities in Chicago and around the world. Tonight's segment is Black Wall Street USA. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, founder of Chicago's Black Business Network and author of Black America, Asking Ourselves the Tough Questions. And we've had some great questions and dialogue this evening with Mr. Charles S. Dutton, director and star of The Obama Effect. The Obama Effect premieres in Chicago July 13th through the 27th. We're going to be back with our host, Mr. Ron Carter, and our guest, Mr. Dutton, right after this break.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Wouldn't you just like to feel clean again? In Chicago and surrounding areas, Unique Towel Cleaning Service is the best cleaning service. We do basic cleaning and super cleaning, offices and apartment buildings. We will even clean your barber shop, your beauty shop, your spa or restaurant's towels and aprons. Call Unique Towel Cleaning Service at 773-484-5027. Ask us about our very special offer for our new clients. Call us at 773-484-5027 today and feel clean again.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com. 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com. 773-980-9288.
Bad credit can cost you. Did you know that banks, landlords, and even employers may check your credit? And a poor credit score can cost up to $250,000 in interest and fees over your lifetime. The good news is that the Chicago Credit Building Coalition, a community partnership of 11 nonprofit organizations and city, offers free financial training, one-on-one coaching, and access to the right financial tools. Call Regina Banks at 773-706-8915. That's 773-706-8915. 8915 today and build the credit you deserve.
You're listening to Black Wall Street USA. Our host is Mr. Ron Carter, Chairman of Black Wall Street District, Chicago. Our guest this evening is Mr. Charles S. Dutton, director and starring in The Obama Effect. I'm going to get that right, The Obama Effect, which premieres in Chicago July 13th through the 27th. Yeah, my Ebonics are coming out. You know they're going to be scared. Girlfriend, I'm going to see The Obama Effect. Guys, it's not an effect. It could be an effect, but it is an effect.
I hear you, baby. I hear you.
No, you know they're going to be saying it, child. I'm going to see The Obama Effect right now,
right,
honey.
Right.
You know that. You already know that. I'm going to go. Oh, my caller disappeared. That's okay. She got scared, didn't she? She had somebody else on the back. Yeah, she got scared of you, child. That's okay. I called her the last one, didn't she? She ran away and got as scared as she could be. I'm going to say a couple of things. Number one, Ron asked you about the Malcolm X picture because he's a Malcolm X man.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So am I. So am I.
That's why he did that. Also, Ron, Mr. Carter is an artist, and he's not going to say it to you, but I'll say it to you. He is a dynamic artist, and he paints Malcolm X over and over and over and over again. Yes, he does. And
I'm going to send you some images
of him.
Great. No, it's that's what I mean, Ron, about that decade of the 60s, you know, losing those great leaders, particularly ours, Malcolm and Megger and Martin and Fred Hampton and all the Panthers, all the young Black Panthers that were murdered and slaughtered during that period. You know, it's
well, right, yeah. Well, see, I was one of those Panthers back then, so
okay.
It definitely have a touch for me. But you know, you definitely looking at your promos pictures for the Obama Effect, when you're having your hands out, there's two photographs of you for the movie. You have your hands out. That resembles Harold Washington.
Oh, it does? Oh, okay.
It does.
Okay.
You got to look at it again, and that's one thing that Harold does. He holds his hands out with a smile when he talks. So can we try to find a way to hold him to doing that movie on Air Washington?
I'll tell you what I'll do, Ron.
I'm a man of my word. That's a word is all you got. When the interview is over, I'll give you and Sonya my private contacts, and I will get with you both on developing a treatment, because you guys know more about Harold than I do, and so I would like to have conversations, and it's something that I would definitely like to take to HBO.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an HBO movie, you know, and what we would need to do, it just can't be the story just can't be about the first Black Chicago mayor. You know, it's just we got to crack the story. We got to get inside of that moment.
That's
Ron.
Going to be
Ron, feedback,
it's very
feedback on your phone, Ron. I don't know where it's coming from, but there's some feedback coming through on your phone. Mr. Dutton, a couple of things. That sounds great. I have been trying to roll out a project, which is a documentary. My plate is so full, but it's something that we can discuss. My show and my network are actually dedicated to Mayor Harold Washington. Here we go, putting that plug in. Dedicated to Mayor Harold Washington. But since you brought it to the table, and I put this out publicly with the flyers and everything, and really it's supposed to launch it again next month. This is on some of my earlier shows when I started. I would ask the question, how do you remember Harold Washington? And every time I ask that question, Mr. Dutton, they almost literally choked up.
Wow.
It was such an emotional It was. It was unexpected to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was so emotional when they started to speak of this man. So I set up a project to do a documentary, really, and that's what I wanted to do in Chicago, the grassroots, the common people, bring them forth and ask them, how do you remember here in Washington, so that that history can be documented from their point of view, because I remember how I felt the day after he was elected the first time. I remember
mm-hmm.
looking at the faces of the people, and what I saw there, had never seen that before in their faces,
mm-hmm.
pride,
mm-hmm.
and that needs to be documented. So, yes, I would love to connect with you and create such a project, or in that way, or whatever way deems the best way.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
mm-hmm.
a wonderful thing. I'm just throwing that idea out there because I put it out there. It's no secret. I've put flyers out there, and I've done it. I just have now gone forth in the project.
No, I understand that.
Right.
No, when your plate gets full, you know, it's you know, it's not enough hours in the day, or you know,
enough
months
hours.
In the year to get stuff done.
It's just not enough. Let me ask a couple of questions as our time run out. I do appreciate you being here and talking about the Obama effect with us. From the chat room, did you participate heavily in the Obama campaign of 2008?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I participated time, money, and energy, you know. Did a lot of I wasn't part of the campaign, you know, but on my own and in my own way, you know, I was in the churches in up and down the East Coast, you know, during the election voters registration drives. You know, I did some in the South as well as the North and my own city of Baltimore and Washington. So you know, I kind of like, you know, my independence, you know, so I didn't join anything per se. But whenever there was a cause, whenever there was someone needed a name or a persona or a personality to help a voter registration drive and to monitor voter registration and to monitor the actual voting, you know, I was definitely involved 100%.
Wonderful. You listen to Black Wall Street USA. Our guest is Mr. Charles S. Dutton, director and starring in The Obama Effect. Let's go to a call out of Chicago, last four digits, 8960. You're on the air with Black Wall Street USA. Did you have a question or comment?
Oh, I have a comment. I have just thoroughly enjoyed this interview today. It's the side of Mr. Dutton that I didn't know, and I'm just thoroughly excited about the movie coming out. And I wanted to actually a question. Is it age-appropriate for teenagers to see as well as adults? I mean, is it?
Yeah. It's definitely age appropriate for teenagers to see. There's not a lot of profanity in it at all. You know, I mean, I've allowed Cat Williams to say one word or two, you know, in the film that would be on the profanity, but not anything really bad. I mean, so it's definitely teenagers would love this, and teenagers should see it. You know,
okay.
But it's no, but it's no violence. There's no sex. There's no. It's just a really good. I think wholesome film.
Okay, and are you? I don't know if your team is doing like a social media page or something. I know you're going to do more interviews on radio probably, but is there something else that anybody that missed this interview today can feel the passion that you? That you give off that this movie will finally get us excited. It just feels like it's such a silence right now. Maybe because as it gets closer to November, it'll be better. But I think this movie will kind of ignite us to that excitement and that passion
yeah.
that we need to have about.
And I think in the next in the upcoming days, you know, starting from today and starting when this is aired, et cetera, although this is live, in the next coming days and up until the 10th, 11th, and 12th, you're going to see a barrage of press and radio interviews and stuff. So, you know, we didn't want to come out too far ahead and let it cool off. We wanted to get some momentum going all the way up to the day of the opening weekend. And so, like I said, this isn't a studio movie. We didn't have millions upon millions of dollars to promote this. We did it all ourselves, and I put my own money into it, as well as the producer. And we were determined to do it our way. So we've had to do it a certain kind of way. I guarantee you. You know, they've already got me slated doing a whole. I'm looking at that itinerary and saying, "Boy, they're gonna wear me out." You know, between now and July 13th. So you'll be hearing the passion, and we'll also have some of the other members of the cast because, you know, it's not just me. It's a Vanessa Bell Calloway. It's Cat Williams. It's Megan Good. It's Glenn Turman. We've got some great Latino actors. In the film, and we even introduced one of the ex welterweight champs, Zab Judah. He has his debut in this picture, and so it's a fantastic cast. It's it's a fun cast, and I think you're gonna enjoy it, and definitely bring your teenagers.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing the movie.
Yes, ma'am.
And
thank you.
And I'll see you at the premiere. I'll be there. Wherever you're going to be, I'll be there.
Okay.
Right. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate your support. You listen to Black Wall Street USA. I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, founder of Chicago's Black Business Network. And it seems like this went so fast. Let me bring the chairman back on. Get your phone straight, chairman. Let me bring the chairman back on. This just went so fast. I didn't even expect it. Like, we could talk another hour or two. And we certainly do appreciate you being with us. I'm going to ask, because I wanted to talk about the cast a little bit more. Just wanted to ask you one thing, though. And from 2009 to now, how did the script change? How did the movie change over that time?
Well, you know, we were very fortunate, you know, because we were doing it ourselves. We had the luxury of finishing the film the first time around and looking at it and doing a self-criticism of it, you know. And as the writer, you know, since I said, okay, well, it's, you know, it's our movie. It's, you know, we don't have to be dictated to. We got nobody looking over our shoulder. I want to say everything I want. And then you come to find out as a writer, you just can't cram everything in, you know. And so you have to be more specific, and you have to be more focused. And so I was able to look at the film the first time and see that it became a little too tragic in the end, and that that it needed to be lightened up, you know. That the moment, the historical moment of his election wasn't tragic. So the character who's trying to get him elected, we shouldn't have that as a tragic ending, you know. So, you know, I did a rewrite, you know, and consequently, because of that, it helped the story. It made the story grow even more. It made the story much more exciting, much more positive, and much more hopeful. You know.
Wonderful. Great question.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that delay.
I want to take one call and see caller, last four digits 3175. Let's check and see if they have a question or comment. You're on air with Black Wall Street USA. Are you there? Can't hear them. They listening. We're gonna say bye bye. Ron, we got a couple more minutes.
Yes, about that interruption. Yes, I did get to a part where you had to change the dramatic to a more uplifting. I think that a lot of people would appreciate that because the election day definitely was a more uplifting.
Absolutely.
That people
absolutely.
Can go home with. So the timing, I want to get back to the timing in this short period we have. That the movie will have more of a lifespan up until probably October. But when we're looking at October, then it seems as though the lifespan will even go even more because, as we hope and witness to see, that he will be reelected. So wouldn't the movie really have a more impact comes November?
I believe so, and that's what we're hoping that happens, Ron, because, you know, once we play out the summer dates, you know, we'll pull the movie, and then we'll reissue the film in October. So, yeah, we should play pretty strong through the month of October as well as the month of November. And the producer, Barry Hankerson, you know, he said one thing that early on in the process, he said, Charles, if we just get black people to come out to see this, I'm satisfied. You know, we think it has huge crossover material. We think it has crossover potential. But he was very profound in that. He said, if we can get black folks to see this, I'm satisfied. He said, not from an economic sense. We know that, you know, the movie didn't cost a lot of money. The movie's around $5 million. So we know we'll get that back, whether it's in DVD sales or whatever, you know, and it'll make a profit. But our hearts were in the right place for this, you know.
We will go beyond just the black audience. Way beyond that. I think that blacks will probably be a small percentage of your gross ticket sales. So when we're looking at after November, so because people, when we talked about it here about the Obama effect, there was a what are you talking about? So what we'll be witnessing here in Chicago is more of a premiere teaser to the nation. Is that how it goes?
In the eight cities that we're going to play, I would categorize it that way because, you know, we're going to re-release in October, and so we want to get folks out. Of course, we want to get folks out in a big way the weekend of July 13th because because that would be a reflection of how many more theaters we can play in October. You know, if we do well in this in this first outing, then we can go wider. You know, I mean, we'll still open again in Chicago, but we can be in many more theaters. You know, the second time around.
We're definitely going to do our part here in Chicago through South Street Journal and through Chicago's Black Business Network and through our network of Black Wall Street USA. As we're getting ready to close out our program, I just want to emphasize my personal agenda of that potential movie on Black Wall Street of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you standing in your promo for the Obama effect.
Hello?
Now, what's the character?
I lost you, Ron. Okay. Listen, Ron, look, I got to go because I got to do another one. But you have my word, my man, that we will focus on those two projects, the Black Wall Street Tulsa and also Harold. As a matter of fact, I'm probably more excited about the Harold Washington as I am about the Tulsa, you know, because I went down that road before. I got no bites, but I'm willing to do it again, you know, because you've got me reinvigorated. And so I think between both of those projects, we can, you know, I can march those into the companies that I have deals with, particularly HBO, and see if we can get those off the ground. You have my word on that. We will be in touch now. I just want to know when I can give you my private stuff.
Okay. Well, Sonia will be in contact with you to make that happen.
Okay,
and,
great.
And we're going to back you whatever way we can for the Obama effect and for these other two projects, potential other two projects as well. It's
okay,
a pleasure having
man.
You, and we definitely enjoyed you, and we will be rebroadcasting Saturday morning so that others that did not will be able to hear our interview.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you, Mr.
Sonia, Jackson. You take care of yourself.
You too. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You listen to Black Wall Street USA with host Ron Carter, publisher and editor of the South Street Journal newspaper. And I'm Sonia Cassandra Perdue, founder of Chicago's Black Business Network. Great interview, great dialogue, And I would definitely, we have, because we broadcast this on Blog Talk Radio, I have the opportunity to share with you this broadcast over and over again. And I think that we most certainly, without a doubt, because he gave his time and he gave so much more than his time by being straightforward about the industry and his involvement in it and giving us a view that myself, I don't recall hearing in that way, giving us a bird's eye view of his experience in the industry and doing it in a very positive way, but being very forthright with that. And I certainly appreciate Mr. Dutton. We have one minute left, Chairman.
Well, we're going to follow up with Mr. Dutton, and we're also going to be following up with the work of Black Wall Street. Matter of fact, this may give us some motivation as a whole based on the project and the potential partnership that we will be having to carry out the work with Black Wall Street District of Chicago.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm getting ready to do my Obama's
Ebonics again? What's going on, Sonia?
I'm getting ready to do my Ebonics again. The Obama Effect premieres in Chicago, July 13th to July 27th. And we're going to keep you informed as to what theaters that is going to be at. And we're going to let you know where Mr. Dutton is going to be, because he says it's going to be at one of those theaters and one those theaters on the opening night. And I did ask his publicist for some tickets. I haven't got an email back on that yet, but I'm going to find out what's going on with that. We want to thank you for being with us. Black Wall Street has been, we've had a rest, Ron. Rest is over. Here we are. We're back. The last show we did was Tuskegee Airmen, and we had quite a rest. Well, at least you did. We want to thank you for being with us. I'm Sonia Cassandra Purdue. That's our host. That's Ron Carter. We'll be back with you next Thursday, same time, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. right here on Chicago's Black Business Radio Network. Come on and join us and touch the world. Everyone have a great evening. We appreciate all of you. Good night.
Good night, all. Good night.